One evening, a farmer, on his way to work, found himself without his prayer book. He felt sad that his day would pass without saying his prayers. So he decided to address the issue to God himself. He spoke aloud, "Oh God, I have done something very foolish. I have left behind my prayer book, and my memory is so poor that I can't even recite a single prayer without the book. So this is what I am going to do. I will recite all the letters of the alphabet 5 times, very slowly. And you, who knows all the prayers, please put the letters together to form the prayer I can't remember." You laugh. But hear this. God heard this and said to his angels, "Of all the prayers, this prayer is undoubtedly the best because it came right from the heart that was simple and pure." God then said, "A man judges another man by his actions, but I judge a man by his intentions." Two things struck me about the first healing in the gospel lesson this morning. First, that Jesus changed his mind. And then, that the Syrophoenician woman simply responded to Jesus' insult with truth. She didn't get offended or bent out of shape. She didn't turn hostile or leave sad. She stayed in the present moment and confronted him with a truth in response to his own reply. Her intention kept her focused, and she received what she had come for, the total healing of her daughter. Now, ironically, we've got the fully human, fully divine Jesus expressing his humanity because he is so sure that his mission is only to his own people. And he is so sure that the good news he carries of salvation or union with God has a priority for his people. Certitude can kill you. Indeed, previous texts indicate that Jesus has been surrounded by the Jewish crowds. He's performed multiple healings, and now he's come into the Gentile country of Tyre and Sidon, maybe for a little R&R. Can you spell compassion fatigue, colleagues? That seems so possibly to be Jesus' story. But who knows how often the Syrophoenician woman had set up nights on end with her daughter, tormented in a way that no known healer could relieve. Who knows if this child was the youngest of all her children, or even the oldest, or even the only daughter among a bunch of sons. Who knows the backstory of the Syrophoenician woman? And yet, whatever it was, it created an intent, a reason and purpose to seek out that Jewish healer who someone said was in the area. Her intent was sandwiched between a love and a trust that he could and he would heal her daughter. So Jesus is approached by yet another cry for help, disturbing his downtime, by a Gentile woman, no less. We hear him respond from his human perspective with an ugly insult. You'd be amazed to see the numbers of commentators who try to get out of, "Oh, he didn't really mean it. No, he meant it." Just as a little aside, the Jewish people were peasants, pretty much, but the Syrophoenician, the Greeks in that area of Tyre and Sidon, had a little bit of a upper cast on them. They were a little bit more upper class. So maybe Jesus was just being human and saying, why should I deal with you? You know? Let's not take Jesus' humanity away, because then it takes our humanity away. And yet with this ugly insult, he is not welded to a purely human seeing, because he does have divine vision as well. And he hears the divine voice through the woman. Here's the way we have been graced to be fully human and partly divine too. That voice lives within us. The Syrophoenician woman had something that we all have, but we don't necessarily use it to any degree, or at least not to notice any changes in circumstances that we claim we want or we hope for. This woman had faith, she had intuition, and she had unconditional love for her daughter. The result was her daughter's healing occurring, get this, not because of something Jesus does. Happens because of what she says, and even Jesus changed his mind. Did you see that? Even Jesus, what's that called with an R? Repent. Even Jesus repented. And we walk around thinking we don't have to. We can carry the same old mindsets, the same old attitudes, the same old seeing folks the same way, seeing stuff the same way, seeing life the same way. 20, 30, 40, 50 years. It's crazy. It's not what we're created to be. In the second chapter of the book of Genesis, we hear the triune relational God saying this: let us create humankind in our own image and after our likeness. Brothers and sisters, each one of us is created by God's intention to be like God. Did you hear me? As David would say, we're actually created to be like God. That's a big deal. And we treat getting up in the morning like, so whatever. It is a great adventure that we're on here. Each one of us is created to be a powerful, compassionate, creative, and loving spirit. A spirit embodied in our three-dimensional world. So we all have our own personalities. But that spirit, we have that one spirit of power and compassion to create and to love. And get this, the journey of our lives is about helping us to develop into this divine way of being. The more of this divine nature we allow into us, how? Through the surrender of our willfulness and the embrace of what is, the more we stop resisting and stay in the present moment, repent, the more our circumstances and our surroundings begin to change as well. I'm not telling you what I read or what I think. I'm telling you what I know. And I'm not telling you what I know from my own experience. I'm telling you what I know from many other experiences of those I have had the privilege of being with. Oh, by the way, the power that we have is divine power. So it actually looks like no power at all to us. Which is why the discipline of nonviolence is so powerful. Y'all ever wondered why we say God Almighty and God is Almighty Powerful? And yet we think that might is about going in demanding something, using force or coercion or bribe, whatever it takes to get, affect our will. That's pseudo power. That's not the power of the universe. To affect what we desire, we must use what the fully human and partly divine Syrophoenician woman used to express her divinity and to heal her own child. Once we began to live into our divine selves, our divine souls, the world breaks open. You will never see the world the same. You will ask for something, you will pray for somebody, and it will happen. And it does it not because of you, but because you are moving into your divine self. It's why Jesus came. We talk about taking away sins, that's what we're talking about. The sin is what disconnects us or makes us think we're disconnected from God. But God is our source. God is the essence of us, of our own consciousness. So when we let go and surrender to what is, we are building a place, standing from a place of allowing God to work through us. Faith or trust. Trusting God. Unconditional love and intention. Intention is the act of doing and moving from a space of what is desired or what I want for a future time. Now, if I want something in the future, if I want to be like more like Jesus, then I have to have the intention. I have to get up every morning and think about, I intend to live in the way of Jesus. And then just going about my business. And just in that intending, it's true, just in our intending, the Spirit begins to work. And you say something ugly or you judge somebody and the Spirit will come in your, there'll be this thought that'll come up and say, now you know that's wrong. Where's your love? It'll be little things, it won't be big things. But this is how God works with us. A lot of times these thoughts we think are our thoughts, they're not. If we're in relationship with God, God is speaking to us. The Spirit is speaking to us to help us to grow up. We are created by intention, and intention is a part of who we are. But even some of us Christians aren't living a fully fulfilling intentional life. And this is really sad. Because if the gospel, if the good news ain't good news to us, it certainly can't be good news to anybody else. This does not have to be so. If you remember nothing else, remember Psalm 46, verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. The Holy Spirit is here to release the divine more fully into our lives if we allow it to be so. In stillness, meditation, centering prayer, gardening, hiking, jogging, anything that we do alone with the intention of paying attention to God releases more and more of God bit by bit within us. The story of Jesus and the Syrophoenician woman is a snapshot into our lives of being both human and being divine. We too have the divine code written into our spiritual DNA, waiting to be expressed in our physical DNA. But it takes faith, it takes love, and it takes intention. You have to trust that God really is God. That God really is powerful, loving, compassionate, and creative. That God is really creating your life anew every day. And then let God do it. It takes those three things to form the basis of who we are and what we're doing. We're serving a purpose on this earth in this limited time that we have. So I ask you to ask yourself three questions in your quiet times this week. The questions are designed to help you grow, help us grow more fully into our divine selves. Remember that as each individual changes, society changes. And as society changes, so goes the world. First question, who am I? Not a role. It's not what you do or what you did. Who am I? Sit with it. Second question, what do I want? What is the desire of my heart? Could be big, could be little, doesn't matter. What do I desire? Third question, how can I serve? We're not put on the earth just to sit around and look pretty. We're put here to serve the earth. Amen.